You put the B in LGBT. You put the B in LGBT. Welcome to the Bicast, a podcast for the bisexual community. I am Lynette, and today my guest, co-host Michael and I are speaking with Sarah Beth Brooks, the creator of Asexual Awareness Week website in 2010. Welcome, Sarah.
Thanks so much for having me today.
You're welcome. We're really happy to have you here. First, let me clarify, this is not our regular staff co-host, Michael, but Michael, who is the asexual activist who joined us last year, and has agreed to help me out again this year. Michael, can you tell us a little bit about the Facebook groups you run?
Certainly. I run two main groups on Facebook. First one is called Aces and Allies, and it's for people both within and without of the asexual community to come together and show support for, you know, not just asexuals, but for... with a focus on asexuals, but for the entire LGBTQA spectrum, you know, so that's for everybody to come together and support each other and to just bond as a community. The other group I run is called Welcome Asexuals, and it's a safe place for asexuals only to kind of have a safe haven, you know, away from an over-sexualized world where kind of placed in general. So those are the two groups I run on Facebook.
They're both great groups. Great groups. So I will put the link up for the Aces and Allies for everyone. It's a great place to get started if you need to learn things or just find support and talk about stuff. A bunch of great people in there. And Sarah, you and I met in D.C. this year.
We sure did.
At the public policy briefing. Oh, what a kick in the butt.
It was fantastic. I had such a great time.
It was wonderful. So can you share a little bit about yourself and the history behind the website?
Sure, absolutely. So I'm a college student at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. I'm a senior. I major in communication studies, and I have a background in queer politics, specifically in California, where I helped organize the mass response to the passage of Prop 8 back in 2008. And so I got a lot of organizing skills from that, and in the process of that came out as asexual and decided I wanted to use those skills to help the community that I now felt an affinity with. And so I started Asexual Awareness Week in order to be able to gather the attention of some of the larger LGBT organizations, such as the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force and even HRC. And so we spent some time trying to actively lobby those groups, and we had a lot of inroads built and things like that. But the website has really taken on a community aspect, and the event has really become a community event where different people in different places celebrate in different ways. And there's a lot of celebration that happens on the internet as well, which is great.
And
it is.
It is. Absolutely. And can you tell us, for those who might not know, what is asexuality?
Sure. So asexuality is a sexual orientation where someone doesn't experience sexual attraction towards another person or towards other people. This comes in a lot of different flavors and varieties, just like bisexuality does. There's some people who identify as demisexual or demiromantic, which is an understanding of sexuality as needing emotional attraction before one experiences sexual attraction to someone. There's also gray asexuality, which is a spectrum understanding of sexuality where someone falls between asexual, not experiencing any sexual attraction, and between sexual or experiencing sexual attraction. So there's a variety of different things under the asexual umbrella that people identify with. Commonly, we use the term ACEs to describe ourselves. That's a term I use, that I feel comfortable with, and that I've seen a lot of other people use as well.
Real quick.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Real quick. You mentioned the difference between a romantic and a sexual attraction. Could you just clarify that for the listeners?
Oh, absolutely. So a sexual attraction is a desire to engage in sexual activity with someone, whereas a romantic attraction is oftentimes labeled an emotional attraction or a way in which we develop close feelings for someone else that transcend the boundaries of friendship.
Wonderful.
We've kind of already went into this already, my next question, but here we go. There are many ways that we are asexual. I have finally, after much soul searching, have realized that I really am demisexual. Can we briefly talk about various ways asexuality will present itself, or that sounds weird, presents?
Sure. So demisexual and gray asexual, just like we just talked about, are certainly ways that asexuality presents itself. But there are a variety of different understandings of asexuality that exist within the community. One of the cool things about our community is that because we're largely based on the internet, and we're largely an organic community. So I'm constantly seeing new phrases and new words being brought up that are prefixes for sexual that talk about different ways that people experience attraction. And so there's a vast community far beyond just demi and gray and ace folks, or even aromantic folks who don't experience romantic attraction.
Mm-hmm.
There's a vast community of folks who use a lot of different ways to describe their experience for the world, none of which are bad in any way. All of them are valid and should be celebrated.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Now, there is a lot of stigma surrounding asexuality. Can we talk about some of the damaging and acephobic things that we kind of experience as a community?
Sure. So I think there are a couple of things, a couple of levels to this. Your generic everyday run-of-the-mill acephobia ranges from you don't exist to, well, what do you do with all of the time that you don't spend thinking about sex? Those various microaggressions happen sort of regularly, but I think one of the more important things that we don't talk about as a community enough, even within our own community, is issues around sexual violence and especially intimate partner violence and the ways that corrective rape plays itself out in the asexual community. There's an understanding among people who don't get asexuality or a belief that you can rape someone and make them sexual again. And that belief plays itself out in scripts in relationships between asexual people and other partners a lot. I hear those stories a lot from asexual people I talk to. And so I think we need to be talking about that as a community, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was one of my biggest concerns when I found out about that, was that this is a real big issue. So
corrective rape is a real thing, and it's happening really to our community, and we're not talking about it. And part of that's because we're not talking about asexuality yet as a broader mm-hmm. society, right?
Exactly.
Until we have those conversations, which is why Asexual Awareness Week still exists. There are lots of things that call themselves awareness things that don't need awareness. This is actually something that needs awareness. We don't know it exists as a broader society yet.
Yes, that's so true. I spend a lot of time educating people on what it is. They, you know, say, well, that's just not true. Everybody experiences something. And I say, no.
Right.
No. There's a lot of education that's still going on. People just do not know what it is. And if they do know kind of what it is, they think it's a choice. And it's not, guys. It's an orientation, just like anything else.
And even if it's a choice to be that orientation, it's still an orientation like all the others. So,
well, absolutely. Right. Exactly.
So,
yeah.
You know, and it needs to be
whatever
respected.
Reason. That's right. Whatever reason you're there, it's valid and it should be, should be respected, just like you said. So,
and
there are a lot of
people.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Michael.
Oh, it's all right. You can go ahead.
There are a lot of people who come through the asexual community and move on to other communities. And there are a lot of people who come from queer communities into the asexual community. I came out as bisexual when I was 14 years old over a plate of tacos to my mom. And she was the coolest about it. And she was like, do you want another taco? And I was like, sure. She was super awesome about it, and I identified as bisexual publicly for a long time, and then it wasn't until I found out about asexuality that I found that it more closely fit what I was experiencing in my life. So people, orientation is not a static thing. It moves.
Oh, it certainly isn't. It certainly isn't.
And all I was going to mention was that, there are some people, all orientation is valid no matter how it starts. Some people grow up, a certain orientation, in this case, you know, asexual. They grow up, they don't experience any attraction to anybody, you know, and they, that's just the way they've always been. Other people, even if they go through some sort of trauma, even if they go through some sort of bad experience, and on the other side, they don't, because of that experience, no longer feel attraction, that's still a valid orientation. And I feel like a lot of times people just kind of push those people off to the side and say, mm-hmm. you know, all that happened to them, that's the only reason why they're broken, they're damaged, you know, they're not really, you know, asexual or whatever maybe.
I have to agree with you. That is a real problem. And no, it is. You are what you are, no matter what happened to you or didn't happen to you. Right. No, when you were younger, I think that's, or even yesterday. You know,
yep.
I think we need to make sure that we are very inclusive and validate everyone. You know, and you know, the truth of the matter is that the LGBTQIA community is targeted by sexual predators. From a very young age, and I think it's because we know we're different. It's not, I don't think we become, I don't know, you know, some people, that could be why they're gay or whatever, but I think on the most part, I don't think every person that is gay or asexual or bisexual was traumatized, so, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, those things can be correlative without being causational. I mean, that's just like logic, right?
Right.
Those two things can coexist with one another and not be caused one by the other. I have brown hair. I also have size 10 feet. Okay.
That's exactly, yes. Exactly, exactly.
All that matters is what they are at the present moment. And, you know, I think a lot of unaware people of the sexual orientation communities, I think what happens a lot is that they take that certain group of people who, you know, were traumatized or had a bad experience in the past that, you know, may have formed who they are now. And I think a lot of times, you know, people say, oh, well, then that represents the majority of the group. So, you know, that actually doesn't exist. These are all just people who have had this bad experience, you know. The truth is, even though there are people within the communities who have experienced that, there are plenty of people who also haven't. Mm-hmm. So this is all one community, but one particular group doesn't exactly represent the majority and, you know, say that this is the reason why everybody is this way.
Yeah, and I think the search for a cause of asexuality is also a fruitless search.
Oh, absolutely. It's like looking for a cause to any other orientation.
Right.
I think it's, you know, why are you doing that? And, you know, the most important thing is that we all support each other and rather than try to figure each other out.
Right.
Or you know, put everything into these little boxes, black and white. This is this, and it never changes. It's just ridiculous. You don't wear the same size shoe all your life, you know, but you still wear a shoe, you know.
This is Margaret Cho, and you're listening to The Bicast, podcasting for the bisexual community.
Yeah.
All right. I feel it's very important to talk about the issues so we can educate or eradicate some of the misconceptions and abuse from the rest of the world. One issue I've noticed is a lack of support from all of the groups and difficulty in finding support groups for the asexual community. Michael has mentioned they had a big increase in membership since last year's Ace Week, and he was on the show. Have you noticed any improvement in general about knowledge and support from the larger community?
Well, we were at this policy briefing last month where I got to talk about it in the White House. That was pretty cool. The general knowledge is increasing in terms of more people are engaging with sites like Avon, sites like Asexual Awareness Week, and the broader community, things like the groups that Michael runs on Facebook and other groups that exist like that. There is an asexual leadership Facebook group where a bunch of leaders come together to talk about the different things that happen in their communities. But as I said earlier, we're largely an organic community, and so I hear about new things that are happening all the time, and I have new experiences that lead me to believe that we're reaching what business majors would call market saturation. Ooh. But I don't, there's no centralized place where all of that knowledge is kept, right? At Asexual Awareness Week, what we've tried to do is to catalog resources and provide resources, pamphlets and flyers and things you can download and print out, PowerPoint slideshows, and a collection of videos that are really good at talking about asexuality, so that if you want to hold an Asexual Awareness Week event, you can take those tools and hold one in your community. We used to try to catalog all of the events, and that became overwhelming because there were too many.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So we know that we've had events in several different countries. There was an event in South Africa a couple of years ago that I worked with them on, events across Europe, Canada, the United States, and there have been events in other countries as well. It's really exciting to see, but it belongs sort of to the community now in terms of how they build it and grow it, which only increases general knowledge situationally in those communities and adds to the larger collective knowledge that we have about asexuality, which is why I can wear my asexual beanie on campus one day last week and get spotted and somebody come over to me and be like, let's have a conversation about asexuality, which would have never happened 3 years ago.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Absolutely. And as far as support, where can one go to find resources and materials?
So I think there are a couple of answers to this question. The first is what I was just saying about how we try to catalog resources on our website and make those resources available. Avon also does a really good job of that. That's asexuality.org. Avon is the largest community of asexual people on the internet, and they have a variety of resources that are also available. Those things can be downloaded and materials are available. There's also a series of conferences that have happened over the past few years. It's usually in June. There's one in Toronto that's now on its, I think it'll be its third year that's coming up. And there's one in San Francisco that's on its fourth or fifth year. And so those conferences happen in North America every summer. They coincide with Pride. And those are places for people to get support and materials. But in their local communities, the closest thing that we can offer right now is an LGBT center. We've had mixed reports as to whether or not LGBT centers on campuses or in communities are open and accepting of asexual people. It's been more open and accepting lately than it has been in previous times. When I first started doing this work in 2010, there was a lot of pushback against talking about asexuality in queer spaces. And so that has changed over time, not just because of the work that Asexual Awareness Week has done, but also because of the work that other groups and other organizations around the country have done. We have a consistent presence now at the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force's conference, Creating Change, every year, and we have regular groups that meet up for the conferences that I just described to you, the Toronto and the San Francisco conferences. Those things are all growing. They're all building support that hopefully we can expand to more cities soon.
Absolutely.
Yes, I encourage you all, there is a link to the pamphlet on the website. That's a really good, it's the asexual pamphlet, which is a really good place to start for all of you. So, Asexuality 101 pamphlet. Who wrote that?
I don't know which pamphlet it is. I wrote some of them, and some of them were produced by folks on Avon, and some of them were produced by some other folks later on after I stopped producing pamphlets. But I don't know which one you're referring to. So
I am referring to the Asexuality 101. It's the one listed on the Facebook site, and I'm looking at it right now. Oh, this is from Avon.
Does it have Avon's triangle on it with the
green? It does.
Yeah.
It does.
That's Avon's. Ours have a little speech bubble. The Asexual Awareness Week logo is a little speech bubble with the asexual flag in it, which is black, white, gray, and purple.
Awesome.
And we have a Facebook page, too. I'll send you the link.
Yeah, and we will definitely include that. So that's fantastic. Is there anything else you'd like to add today, both of you?
I think we covered a wide range of topics. Sarah, how about you?
Happy Asexual Awareness Week. Eat cake.
You bet. And that is the 19th to the 20th. Oh, oops.
The 19th
to
the 25th.
It's from the October 19th to the 25th of this year. So Everybody go check out the pages. Go check out all the resources and join Mike's Facebook group. Or Michael, excuse me. All right, I want to remind, I want you, oh wait, hold on, let me just start over. So see, I screw up all the time. You can find out more about Asexuality and Ace Awareness Week at aceweek.com. And you can view our previous guests on our website at www.thebycast.org. We will list all of the links that we talked about on the website. And I want to remind you all, you are not wrong, you are not broken, you are not alone, and you are just a human being, and you are asexual. Bye, you guys.
Bye.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
The views expressed on the Bycast do not necessarily represent those of Bynet USA or the Bycast crew. The views expressed on the Bycast do not necessarily represent those of Bynet USA or the Bycast crew.